Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. Yes, so it is quite interesting. So sometimes people go into, let's say, social events and things are coming, or they're in a social gathering and there's a conversation or someone says, how do you do? And tick, tack, 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 and suddenly comes out, and afterwards they have regrets or they wonder about something which is rising. How could he say that? How could she say that? There is no private sayer. There is no private speaker. It's just consciousness speaks. Yes, in Heidegger language, he calls it the language speaks. Yes, but the consciousness speaks through us. Yes, and there is no need to have regrets of words, or because it comes before, it is so fast that it comes before any thought of effort from our side. What we tend to believe that we are thinking, yes, it's a mechanical, this is a mechanical attribute to the brain. But the truth is that consciousness speaks, and it is so fast. It is so fast. Because how can it be otherwise? There's a moment, there's a momentum, neighbors are meeting. Nobody prepared in advance what to say. Or beforehand, nobody read a text at home, what neighbor A say to neighbor B, and so on. It just, neighbors are meeting in the lobby or in the elevators, and a few words are coming out in the moment. And nobody prepared the text before. It just happens. It comes from the source. So mainly we're empty, and whatever comes, comes. Therefore, there is no need to regret, because people come home after, let's say, a party or, let's say, a session at work, and they say, how could he say that, and how could I say that? And there is no private speaker. It's just what comes from the source. This is what comes from the source in the moment. It is so fast. Like when people say to each other, good morning. Today I was passing in the morning and there's a guard of the local school. I say hello. And he was with a storm suit. And he says, look, I wore today a storm suit from the rain. And I said, hey, Chag Sameach. Like, okay, because Hanukkah is a mile away. And just, hi, and good morning. And it happens in the moment. Nobody goes with a, yes, how shall I say, with a script. Yes, and then he was waving to another student that was coming to school. It just happens naturally. Everything comes from the source. Good morning, Fernando. Yes, in the moment, spontaneously, effortlessly. I was mentioning, Fernando, previously that yesterday I got a call from the bookshop and they said that the book of Heidegger arrived after 2 weeks. It arrived. I was sure, I was always convinced that it will never arrive, but it did. And they called yesterday to say that it's in the shop, and today I went to pick it up. It's a bilingual little booklet with the German one side, left to right, and right to left Hebrew. And the name of the book in Hebrew is Hasafa, the language. And what Heidegger point was, or is the language speaks itself. In other words, or the words that we were saying for a while, this is consciousness speaks. Yes? And it is speaking all the time effortlessly. It's so fast. it is faster than the mechanical activity of the brain claiming it. So it comes naturally and spontaneously, and there is no need in a way to be sorry of what he said, she said, because there is no private speaker, there is no interest. Yes, this is what comes out from the source. Yes, you did. Yes. Yeah, how cool is that? Great, great. It just happens in the moment. Nobody prepares it from advance. This is how consciousness is. Yes? Yes, this is basically being. Yes, yes. Sure, being in time. Yes. So any questions or any sharing that you would like to, Fernando, maybe you would like to unmute and share the class that you were attending? Yes, about Heidegger. Felipe, would you like to ask anything? Last night, on the last several days, we were preparing short videos, like snippets from the sessions of Abahir. Like to take like major chords and try to, let's say, flesh them out in a short message, because sometimes it's difficult to people to go into the deep discussions of the conversation. So we shall see. It's just to stream new people. Just not to stream new people, but to expose the message. It's not to expose people to the message. Yes. Yes. So, Fernando, would you like to speak about anything? Please feel free. About the class you are taking. Yes, I saw that you posted. Yes. Thank you so much for that. Are there any questions? If there aren't at the moment, we can continue reading from Sefer Abahir. Good afternoon, Abigail. We're so happy to see you here. Yes, so happy to see you here. So now we are reading in Sefer Abahir, Mark 24. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Haaretz nivret kodem lashamayim. The earth is created before the skies or the heavens. She'ne'emar, that it has been said. Genesis 2:4. Be'yom asot Elohim eretz v'shamayim. In the day, yes, the being God made earth and heavens. So Rabbi Yanai learns that the earth was created before the heavens, according to one verse from Genesis 2:4. Now, let me stop here and ask you, what happens to you when you listen to those readings from Abahir? Also, if nothing happens, it's good. Maybe you can open the microphone and speak, Felipe, Abigail, Fernando, Yanis. What happens when you're listening to this reading? Does it interest you? Do you feel sometime disconnection from the text? Do you feel that it is heavy or complex? What comes to you when you read from Sefer Abahir? Yes, Felipe?
Hello.
Yes, hello, good morning. How do you do?
Hello, Eti, good evening. I'm fine, Eti, thanks. And nice to be here. Glad to be here. And about this, the question, Eti, I feel it's a very difficult text to access. For our own, so I am very happy to hear what you have to, I mean, it's fundamental that you open it for us, because otherwise I wouldn't think we could access this kind of text. Yet, it's when I hear many times, in the moment you are exposing it and reading it, it's almost impossible to understand in that very moment. But afterwards, listening again sometimes, or just waiting, I mean, just leaving some sparks of what was said, they make sense and they fit. So just to give this feedback, sometimes in the moment, many times I cannot connect with the teaching because it's too deep and too difficult sometimes. But then slowly we can digest some of those major teachings. And one thing that I am trying to let's say to reach is to be focused in the very teaching itself, not to try to establish many relations, you know, because we tend to explore and just say whatever comes, you know, the relations we get in the moment. So I'm trying to stick with the teaching and try to understand a bit about this concise text that is the Bahir. So just to give this feedback, Eti, and thank you very much.
Thank you. There's another question to ask. What feels like more hearty or more associatable to speak about the weekly portion, about the Bible, stories? How, when we ask how it is to read the Bible, weekly portion, or the biblical stories next to Sefer HaBahir, what happens inside of you when we are speaking about this or that? What happens inside?
In my experience, there are moments that it's difficult to, because when you are reading Sefer HaBahir, and it needs a very present, you know, we have to be present, we have to be very attending to this very moment, you know. It's different from a general Bible story that develops more like a story, and we can establish relations. In the Bahir, there are these major pearls of knowledge, but not very often we can access. In my experience, it's a bit difficult. But when you can establish a relation, it's wonderful, you know. But it is because of my lacking of attention or something. So I feel that sometimes we cannot give the feedback in the class as much as you are giving to us, if you can understand me. I don't know, you know, I feel sometimes you are giving this knowledge and speaking about, and we cannot be in the same level of attention, you know. I don't know if it makes sense, Eti, if you feel this way.
This is why I'm asking. This is why I'm asking, Felipe, because
yes.
I just the first sentence that we read a while ago, Yotzer Or Vore Choshech, like creates, I mean, forms light and creates darkness. And this is just a fact that creation is darkness and it's a formless, and the creation is anonymous. Just this, without continuing like to Mark 24 and the shape of letters and why the letter Gimel is built the way it's built, why the letter Bet with a dot inside, with the infinite inside, and fulfilled with the bliss of being, yes? Like an ocean, and the south has inherited it. And so, without going into this, because now there is a, the last few days, we were making those short videos to take snippets from the, it's a very deep content. Not very, not many people are wishing to attend those deep content teachings. So we're trying to make it accessible, and while we are in the process of like taking snippets and try to make it accessible, we notice that there's so much there, and there's so much already. So while reading to you what now Rabbi Anai says, I don't find any spirit, or the spirit feels that it wants to ask you, how do you do with it? Because so far we read not little, and I would like to ask how do you with it, Yanis? How do you with it, Fernando? Because this is quite radical, what we have learned so far. Very radical. That creation is anonymous, because all what we have grown through in life, that there's a person, there's a name, there's an address, there's a personality, there are preferences, and everything is personal, and we are in the center, and suddenly it's not. It's just a take about life. It's just interpretation of life. What we consider as truth and what we know and how we see the world is just an offside story. It's just a mere poor narration. It's not life. And this is what Sefer HaBa'ir says. Creation is anonymous, like someone anonymous healed. Not that somebody did an action, there's like healer and being healed, there's no two, it just happens. It is quite radical to say that, because we perceive everything as the man in Genesis 2. The man in Genesis 2, Adam in Genesis 2, he names the animals. He names the animals, yes. There's what is to name, to call their name, is to speak. And he feels that what, that the ability to speak is his. He is the owner of words. He is the source of language. But he doesn't have friends. He can name any animal from far. He can speak the language. He can command. He can use the language as a tool. But he's not capable of relating. He doesn't have friends. as an owner, he doesn't manage to have relationship. Just owning. He's owning by naming the animals, by giving them names. He feels that he is the owner of the world. He feels that he is the owner of the universe. He's like kind of alcoholic. Like he has a sense of a huge sense of self control. This is the man in Genesis 2. Also us, there's a language going on, people speak in different languages, and there's a sense that if people speak to each other using words, they are the source of the speech, they are the owner of words. And by the way they speak, they think that they can control or set rules. And all the way it works, it creates a huge illusion of control. By the mere fact of language being spoken by us. And Sefer HaBayir comes and just drops everything in front of us and says, look, we are not the center of life. We are not the center of the universe. We are not. In fact, creation is anonymous. It's not private. Of course that man is not the crown of creation. It is radical message. Try to tell people they are not the center of the world. That their preferences in ice cream is not determined the rain or make the bird fly good nest or build a better one. It's radical. And we don't speak from the academic point of view. When this text was written, how many times it was copied, where this text appear in Europe. This is not a question. We speak about the message, and the message is quite radical. Hello, Giovanni. We're so happy to see you here. What occupies the professors is those questions, where this text appear first, in which region, who might have been the one who sent a copy to another one, where this copy appeared, what are the names of the teachers, were they real figures? Can we give them a frame of existence? Can we give them personalities? Did they write more? Those questions are completely irrelevant for us. It's just what the text says or what consciousness speaks, to put it that way. Consciousness speaks. So from our point of view, it doesn't matter if it's Rabbi Berachia or Rabbi Amora is a kind of an order, yes? But we don't look with the lens of, let's find with a magnifying glass, let's hover over Europe there, yes? And try to find Rabbi Berachia and Rabbi Amora and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Levitas from Italy. We don't, you know, and we don't try to find them. Where did they live? yes, and when, yes, and what kind of letters they left behind him. This is not a question, it's just our lens is consciousness speaks. So what is the text saying, what the language says? Now, when we open the text, because it is happening now. Fernando, Giovanni, Felipe, Yanis, would you like to say something? We are open to whatever comes to you. I would like to go and read again with you one sentence here, which is quite in the beginning, I believe. Let's say it is here. First, there is the blessing of being, and I would like to look into this. What does it mean that someone or anonymous healed? Usually we, because I don't plan even to say that, so it comes in the moment. Usually we tend to believe that we are the center of life. But this is not true. Because we are infinite consciousness, and infinite does not have a center. We were growing to believe, yes, that the names that we are carrying is who we are. There is identification with the name and few details, and this is the personality, and this is who am I. But this is not, and this name and few details becomes the center, yes, of the finite self, which is it's a product. It's a story, it's a product. Like you go to the supermarket and buy pickles in brine. It's a product. It's not real. So the beautiful message is, as infinite consciousness that doesn't have anything to do with the finite, it also has nothing to do with the center. So we are not in the center of any happening. In fact, we are empty. And even if it comes to us in a single second per day, it's enough. It lands that this is basically emptiness, and there's infinite consciousness, and nothing is lost. And there is nothing that to win. It's not this against that. It's just emptiness. And there is no need to carry a load, yes, from the past yesterday, or fear from the next future. There is no need to play with those both hands, yes, to hold this kind of message or load or stories or events and fear from the unknown future. There isn't. There's only this moment, and it's infinite and open. And in this way, this is what happens. And this is happy and happiness, because as long as we are not being empty in the moment and available, we seem to carry a load. And the load attaches to a certain event, to a certain story, yes? And we seem to be occupied. An occupied seat is not an empty seat. An empty seat can host a moment. And so we are not the center of the world. We are not the center of the universe. And there is no need to measure everything in finite measures. Because what is science? Science measures everything and says this, that, that. But this is what science, this is, it's what, so why do I come with this today? Because I was reading the book of Heidegger, and there is like foreword in Hebrew, and they are expanding a bit, and they say that he was giving this lecture in 1950, 1951, and they slowly translate it, and Heidegger was claiming that many of the German words, they have an ancient root in the Greek language. And this is what the spirit of his time, they was trying to show the late 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, that the Germans, as well, they have deep, very deep roots in the Greek culture. Not so much in the Roman, that they consider to be young and a bit stupid, but they saw their ancestors in the Greek culture and so. And so Heidegger was, whenever he was coming into words that they were referring or reminding him of a Greek origin, he was taken, bringing the source in Greek and how it is written and so on. But when he was like quoting one verse from Psalms, he did not quote it in Hebrew. He just took the Luther translation to the Bible in German, which was written in the 1500s or so, 500 years before his time. And the translation is, there is already interpretation, and he took it and says, this is why it is. So without relating at all to what is. So whatever people consider to be science is what they know. The swimming pool that people know and measure, this is science. Beyond the swimming pool that they can measure, it does not exist. And when people claim that in the how do you say, that they come to you with the truth, with the absolute of science, it's not. Because next day, the next morning, they discover something and everything is falling. It just doesn't work. Like the people even who translated the book of Heidegger, they already were trying to take a step forward and they fell because they don't understand even what they do. But it's just funny. At some point, I ask myself, shall I write them? I said, okay, we don't have to play activists. So let them publish their books. And it doesn't matter. It is funny because in academia or in all kinds of circles, people speaking to their own, let's say, colleagues, they never break the walls of their jail. They sit with people who speak German, yes, that they speak philosophy in this topic. They never open the doors or the walls to get an input. This is what makes it stuffy and choky. This is how it is. I would like to tell to share with you something that happened this week in the beginning of the week the week of the week, which was Monday. We were at the supermarket because there was alert of like a great weather system and storms, and so we said let's prepare before the storm hit, because it's going to be a system of maybe 1 week or so without any power. Yes, and okay, let's go to supermarket, you go to self-checkout, we just, you code, and we paid, and we pack, and suddenly we lift the code. We already coded everything, we paid, and then we lift a little coat in the wagon, and then we see a coffee. Yes, instant coffee. In Hebrew, in Israel, they call it Nes Cafe. Nes Cafe. Nes. Let's write it. This is quite interesting. Nes Cafe. It's an instant coffee. Let's write it Nes. And dash cafe, Nes cafe. Nes cafe. Nes is also miracle. Nes is miracle in Hebrew. And this is what happened on Monday, was demonstration of what miracle is. It is in your wagon, in your domain. It's just what covered from your eyes. But already is there. It's not about so much the coffee instant. It's about that the way they call it in Hebrew, Nes, the miracle is already embedded in creation. It is already calculated. Do we understand? It just happened in the moment, and I really wanted to share it. Do we understand or not? People are praying for miracles, but miracles, and this is what the verse says also in Sefer HaBahir, Ha'olam ne'elam, the world. He says, don't read Ha'olam, the world, but read He'alem, it is hidden. Yes, yes. The miracle is already here, is happening, is the being. This is the miracle. The miracle is being. It's you just don't have the eyes to see it. Yes? It's not something outside of nature. Yes. Yes. Nes coffee. Yes. Yes. Yes, Felipe. When Nes is half of the word of nistar, hidden, yes? Nistar, we say nistar is hidden, but the letters are nun samech, which is nes. So the miracle is part of the hidden. Yes, Felipe?
Neti, just make me think about this great preoccupation, concern about knowing how to pronounce the name Hashem, that, you know, it's forbidden, or there are people that are just, you know, there are translations with the vocalization and the different vocalization, it is so silly. It's absurdly silly because, and we see many serious studies and translations about that. And when you approach the name as the being, as nothing, there is nothing that can be outside of it, you just, it's so simple to realize that it isn't about the vocalization of the name or, you know, anything about the name, because it is just infinite, and it's just an example how silly can we be in this narrowness about things. Just that came. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you. Thank you, Felipe. Yes, it's just those trials to say, to vocalize it, is like to own it. This is again the story of Adam in Genesis 2. If I vocalize it right, I'm owning it. And it's impossible. It's just impossible. And whenever there's a claiming of the brain that we did something right or we have it right or even have it wrong. It's just a finite place. Yes, it's just to see what we are not. Yes, we're not winners, we're not losers, we are not products, we're not producers. This infinite consciousness, and there is no need to worry about tomorrow or what happened yesterday, because it's not happening. It is now, it is empty and infinite, and nothing is lacking. Umale Birkat Hashem. It is fulfilling or fulfilled with the bless of being. It is fulfilled with the bless of being. It is so beautiful. They always speak in the realm of miracles, they always mention the miracle of opening the Red Sea. They call it in English Red Sea because they look at it as geographical. This is a geographical reading, but Kriat Yam Suf, the opening of the finite sea. This is basically what it is, to open the finite sea, Yam Suf. Find Suf from not just reed, the bamboo, but Suf is from Sof, yes, to open, to tear the finite. And when the finite is being torn into two, what stands in the middle is the infinite. This is basically it. So they always speak about this as a miracle. Miracle, the Holy Blessed, they open the finite sea for us. And the miracle is already here. It's not of a process. There is no need to pray for miracles. Miracle is here. It is miracling. And this moment. And this is so beautiful. And with this beautiful message, I would like to thank you for being here with us and to wish you a very good weekend. And we could meet here on Saturday at the same time. And on Sunday, there will be first candle of Hanukkah. And thank you so much for joining us today, Yanis, Felipe, Joanny, Fernando, and Abigail. Toda rabba, shalom, shalom, and see you soon. Already miss you. Later on. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov.